When they said, I would like to invite a brother who will come up here, Brother Zebaniah, he has a very special message to share with here with us today. So please help me welcome Zebaniah up here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciate it again. Hopefully we already was listening a couple of minutes in the first service about my testimony. I'm going to talk again about my life. The life sometimes is difficult. Life sometimes is very difficult because of some of the thinking, some of the what you think in your mind. I'm going to be talking about some of the word I put down here from the voice of the Lord. I'm not going to testimony something that I bring it from my mind. I'm going to talk about something God gave it to me. And I want to share it for all of you guys. And we can share it together. Life is not easy. So if you guys see my pictures right there. See, life is not easy. That's the life I had it. Because of that life, the devil brings a difficult life in your life or my life. That's the devil. It brings a difficult life to me. All he brings is a negative. It's a negative. All negative devil is bringing to me. That's not a God life is right there. You guys have seen it. So the devil made me, I can be smoking, cigarette, drinking alcohol, depression. This is for all of you guys, young kid, to make sure how is slavery devil to do it to me, I can do it. That's a slaver. A slaver of the devil. But I don't want you guys, teenager, to be involved with something like that. If you be involved with something like that, that is not the way of God. That's the way of the devil. So before I made the decision to kill myself, in that picture, I made a dangerous decision before God not sent the voice to me. Years I have been come back from evil decision, I made it to be kill myself. So, from the evil decision I was made it, that's why you guys see me here in front of you. And who bring me here? That's the voice of God. That's why you guys sent me here. Praise God. Praise God. I came back because the Holy Spirit I received in June 22, 2017, tell me, go back to church. Here's a voice from the God. God sent his voice through to me. Sent his voice through to me and said to me, Savannah, you gotta go back to church. That's why you guys see me right here. I'm in a church.
Amen.
So I was left Rochester and I went to Arizona because of a sadness, evil, decision, a dangerous decision. I left my kid and I went there. When I went there, so I went to Arizona and I've been there like 2 months, 3 months, and the voice is coming from God. He said to me like this, all I'm reading here is a voice from God, it's not from me. So he said, okay, the Holy Spirit said, okay, he said here, I received the Holy Spirit right there in Arizona, said to me, Savannah Cody, this is the call. God called me. He said to me, Savannah Cody, for you to go back in your life, you must come back to church and say to one pastor, pray for you. This is how I come to, this is how I come back to church. He said to Pastor Luis, pray for me, and God must help me from life I had, a very difficult life. But in that time, God just said to me, go looking for somebody to pray. And I know Pastor Luis here in the church. I come through to him. I say, brother, I want you to pray for me, for my life. I know my life is not good. And he prayed for me. He prayed for me. From his prayer, God is working, or God is, you know, taking what I'm having from my heart for his prayer. And I made an appointment with him. And I shared him that picture. That picture I shared to him. And he prayed for me again. Until right now, I seen myself, I changed. Isn't I changed? Does it look like I'm changed right now?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm look like I'm changed. You see that picture? Just remain a home. Or a tail supposed to be there, I would be a devil. But God making a great, great, great things to call me and come back from where I was supposed to lose my life. So, and the Holy Spirit point me the Bible, I can go read. I can go read in my Uduk language. But this word is coming from God. The voice is, he showed to me and he tell me the chapter that I can go read. I didn't even open the Bible at one time. I never opened it in my life. I never opened the Bible. Until God sent the voice and the voice come through and point me the chapter of the Bible I can go open it. When I open it, I look at the word. It's said by Udo, but in English, there's a Hebrew 10, verse 18. Hebrew 10, verse 18. This word, I'm not reading anytime, or I'm not reading when I was in that life. I didn't type the Bible. When the God sent the voice, said to me, Savannah, go to read the Bible from your language. That word will be telling you from your sadness. If you're not coming back from that, nothing, I will forgive it for you. See? He said, by English here, said, and when sins I have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifice. Amen. See? Amen. This word, I'm not reading from my mind. This is from the God. God is sending it to me. Absolutely, if I was died in that devil house, do you guys think that God is going to provide something for me? No, because he's already giving us the gift. He's giving us the gift for the sins. All of us are forgiven. You cannot die again in a devil house. This is how God called me, and I come back. Message to all of you, my friend, sister, brother, and a children of the church. If you have an evil and sadness, like I do, don't wait to go back to church and pray God for the evil sadness, anger in your heart. Because if you have it, it will not let you connect with the God, connect with the church. Thank you. I hope this message God will deliver in your heart. Thank you so much. Thank you. So there is a song by Utuk, but we're gonna sing together. You guys will put it here. Is it said, I have to decide it so we can sing together. Because I was singing by Udo, or if you guys want and Udo can sing it, I will be happy that. I will be happy. I will be happy. But let me get the book here. This song is, you know, telling all of us for how you searching for God. He said, Bam Bam Oya Kiya Pata Yeso. Bambem oya ki ya pata Jesus. Bambem oya ki ya pata Jesus. Mo tiki to mo kanya ko piti nya ke mireya mo ahate piti nya. Absolutely. If you want to live, come on. God is still calling you. God is still near you. God is still near you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Praise God. We're going to sing, you may be seated, we're going to sing the English version one time, and we can go ahead. And let's just sing it as a response to what we've heard, and it's a beautiful, beautiful moment. Thank you, brother, for sharing with us your heart. You know, I believe that we can't be healed until we speak plainly about what's going on. There's something beautiful about being vulnerable. And so let's sing it together. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Though none go with me. Though none go with, still I will follow. Still I will follow. Though none go with me. Though none go with me, still, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning. One more time. I have decided. Sing it out.
I have decided,
yes, Lord,
to follow Jesus.
From this day on, God.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Let's just give God a hand of praise for what he's done, what he's doing. Thank you again, brother, for sharing your heart with us. We're so, so thankful for what the Lord is doing in our midst. Amen? Who knows what God's doing in our midst? Who knows what God can do? And we're so thankful. Let's prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. If you are interested, I'm going to be looking at the book of Acts chapter 2. So if you have a Bible and you want to look at Acts chapter 2, you can do that with me this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity you give us to come before your presence, God, to hear wonderful testimonies about what you have done. God, I thank you that you are a rescuing God, that you are a God who rescues us from darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you for Brother Sebaniah and others like him who are coming into the light of Jesus, who are being touched by the Spirit of God and whose lives are being transformed. God, now I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, praise God. Well, good morning once again. We're so glad that you're here. I want to encourage you to make sure that you invite someone to come with you next week. We want to commit to making people that come feel welcome, and I hope that you feel welcome today as well. Most of you know that my wife and I are expecting a son in the coming weeks. It could happen any moment. It could happen now, but it's not going to happen right now. Hallelujah. And we appreciate your prayers, but when we found out that we were expecting, it was a moment of joy for us. We celebrated, and as a married couple, we were just so thankful. We're so excited about what this new child that the Lord had given us. And it was special because we could share it together. And as time has gone by, more and more people have found out about the news, and we've been able to celebrate with them. Our families eventually found out, and then our church family, right? Our friends, and little by little, eventually the world found out through Facebook. Hallelujah. Thank God for Facebook. Good news demands to be shared and celebrated, doesn't it? But there's nothing like being able to celebrate great news in community with other people. Nothing like being able to celebrate while together with others. And again, yesterday, some of the ladies of the church were kind enough to throw my wife and I a baby shower. How special that we were able to celebrate this great news with our church family. But that moment was special, not just because we were celebrating the good news of the boy to come, baby Samuel, If you don't know, Sarah puts a little like a pillow under her shirt, and she'll say that that's 1 Samuel, and she's got 2 Samuel. She's a woman of the word, a woman of the word. My girl's a woman of the word. Praise God. Amen. But that moment yesterday was special to Amy and to the ladies that were here because we were celebrating the good news together in community. Amen? There's something about celebrating together. Today we're continuing our series on starting off the year strong. Everyone say starting strong. We talked for the past few weeks about spiritual habits that help us connect with God and begin the year strong. And today we're moving to talk about spiritual friendships for a few moments here. Today we're going to talk about community and celebration. I believe that the most important things that you and I can do in this life is to connect with God and connect with other people. I believe that in order to make it in this life, we need God and people. We need God and brothers and sisters. Amen? I believe that wholeheartedly. I should say more specifically that we need God and the right people. Right? We need God as followers of Jesus. We believe that God the Father sent his Son for us, took our sins and our pain, our mess, upon himself on the cross. And according to the scriptures, the life that I live now as followers of Jesus, that you and I live as people who put our faith in Christ, the life that we live now, we live by faith in him. Because of what he did for us on the cross, we can connect to God. A bridge was built. And I can cross from my former ways of sin and separation from God to a life of peace and joy, eternally connected with God because of what Jesus has done. Spiritual habits that we've been talking about for the past few weeks are those things that we practice. Everyone say practice. So that we may live our life to the fullest with God here and now. Christianity is not just about what happens when we die. Did you know that? Well, I'm going to follow Jesus so that when I die, I go to be with him. Praise God. That's good news. But it's more than that. It's got to be more than that. God cares about your life here and now. Did you know that? It's not just about what happens when we die, but God cares about your life here and now. Your family, your work, your relationship with him, and your relationship with other people. So the spiritual habits of Bible reading and prayer, fasting, and silence and solitude are ways that we can allow the life God wants to give us to be manifest. Last week I talked about a gentleman named Richard Foster who wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline, in which he just talks about these things that we can do to connect with God. And here's the example he gives. Spiritual habits or spiritual disciplines are like, and he uses the example of a farmer. You know, a farmer goes out. Anybody got a green thumb in the house? Anybody like gardening and that kind of stuff? Okay, good. I got a couple people. Praise God. Okay, good. Good. Awesome. Yeah, I think I've seen some of your work, brother. Yeah. Awesome. Good job. I do not. Plants come to me and they die. And so if you want something to stay alive, please don't give it to me. I do a terrible job. A person gave me the easiest plant to possibly take care of for my office, and that plant has gone on to a better life somewhere else other than this planet. But farmers... Thank you. Yeah, no, right. It was actually in an office, and there was some light, but you know, it worked out. Yeah, there you go. Cactus. That's what. Yeah, give me a cactus. We'll see if that survives. Kind of a fun plant. But Richard Foster says that when a farmer goes out, right, he sows his seed, he has to put the seed on the ground, do all this stuff, and then he's got to work the land to make sure that the seed grows well. Well, the farmer, did you know that the farmer cannot make the plant grow? Can't do it. The only thing, the only power in this world that bring the seed to sprout is the earth, right? That's what people put, and it's almost like a magical thing that this earth provides all the things that the plant, the seeds need to grow, and eventually it grows and becomes strong. But the farmer, doesn't matter how hard he tries, how much he works, he cannot make that corn seeds or that potato seeds or whatever, cannot make it grow. The ground, somehow God has created this earth so that the ground will give its life. But the farmer can prepare the ground, right? The farmer can water the seed. Are you with me? The farmer can help create an atmosphere so that when that seed starts to grow, it flourishes and it maximizes what it's supposed to be. They can get as much crops as he can because he's preparing the ground. It's the same thing with our spiritual habits. The thing, you know, reading the Bible is not going to earn you salvation, but it is reading the scriptures as a response to a God who loves you so much to say, this God loved me, he gave his life for me. I must find out what his scriptures tell me. I must find out what's written here about my life because he loved me so much. In response to him, I want to create a warm, wonderful place in my heart so that the seed of God can grow. Amen? And that's why we read the Bible. That's what we pray. That's why we do spiritual habits. And so it's very similar to a farmer going out to sow his seed. But God is the only one that can produce life in you. Just like the ground is the only thing that can produce the plant, God is the only one that can produce life in you. He's the only one that can take us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's the only one that can do what Brother Sabaniah was just talking about. When we're depressed, when we're consumed by darkness, he's the only one that can penetrate that. And because of his cross and because of his love for you, he will bring light into your world. Amen? So that you can, a few months later, stand and sing, I have decided to follow this Jesus because of what he's done for me. So I wanted to make it clear that it's not about what we earn, but it is about taking steps. I've quoted this several times. Christianity is not about earning. It's about, but there is effort to it. Did you know that? Christianity has some work to it. I had an old pastor who used to say, Christianity is not our responsibility, but it is our response to God's ability. I've always remembered that. In the same way today, we want to talk not just about spiritual habits, but about spiritual friendships that we have that can help us. The people that we surround ourselves with are critical to our life of faith. Did you know that? Sometimes we want to grow with God, but we hang with people who are far away from God. And there's something about community. Everyone say community. Community has to do with commonality. Community has to do with holding some things together. Community, as defined in the dictionary, is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. Everyone say in common. In common. A feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Common characteristics. I spoke a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago or so, at a college campus on multicultural community and specifically multicultural ministry. And the questions that they were asking is, how is it possible to do ministry to different ethnicities and different culture? How did that work? And they asked me, because we have a couple of folks from different places in this house. Amen? And we're thankful for that. And so how do you do that? And one of the things that we talked about is this. You know, when we walk, and I remember when I was a freshman in college, I walked onto the college campus in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the South, praise God. It was a little different. And early on, it was very natural for all the Hispanic kids to kind of get closer together. And it was very natural for all the African-American kids to hang out together. And very natural for all the Caucasian kids to hang out together. Why? Because we come from different places, and we don't know anything about each other. But when I see another Hispanic, I say, wait, I might not know anything about you, but your skin color, I think you're probably Hispanic. So we have some commonality, so we are drawn to that. Amen? And listen, there's nothing wrong with that, but the gospel is even greater than just what the skin says. Amen? And when we are in a college campus, where we are here in the church, in this community, what brings people together, what breaks down racial divides is the blood, not of Hispanics, not black blood, not white blood, not Asian blood. It's the blood of Jesus the Christ. Amen? When we put our faith in him, all of a sudden, his bloodline is coming through us. And so now when I share with a brother who might look differently, but we're brothers, we're sisters, we're together because there's something that's connecting us. And it's the commonality between followers of Jesus is the blood of Christ. That's the commonality. And we're talking today about community and celebration. And today I'm just going to start this talk, and we'll end it next week. But it's one of the most powerful things is this idea of community, when community is developed. I have learned when people are suffering addictions, whether that is drug addiction, any kind of chemical dependency. Some people have addictions of all kinds of different things. Some people are addicted to sugar. Pray for your pastor. Hallelujah. Right? It's right. There's some. No, here's what I have found from 12-step groups, recovery groups, and people who have talked to me about their stories about how they got out. They tell me this every time. I tried to get free by myself. I tried to be good enough. I tried to stop drinking and stop drugging. I tried to stop doing all this stuff. I tried to stop overeating. I tried it. I tried to stop my codependent relationship. There are some people that are addicted to people. They can't be alone. They would rather be in a horrific situation with a relationship than just be alone. And they talk about codependent relationships, and there's 12-step groups for recovery of that, because some people can't help but get into bad situations. How do you get free? And I've heard this enough times, I say, wow, this is really powerful. Not one person that has recovered from drugs or alcohol or any kind of addiction that you can imagine, not one person has ever done it alone. It does not happen by themselves. Well, if we just get out and we go to like a monastery or something, we just go, ah, 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 ah. And then God will speak to me and I'll be saying, listen, God is a good God, amen. And he loves you and he can transform you, he can transform me. But he's rigged. God has rigged this whole thing so that I need you and you need me. I don't understand it. Sometimes I wish, you know, I just want to be strong enough by myself. Can't be done. It's the church. It's the body of Christ. Sometimes people say, I like Jesus, I just don't like the church. And you know, it's not possible. You know, Jesus didn't say, well, I'm Jesus, I'm the Messiah, so I'm going to walk around and do my thing all by myself. You know, he didn't do that right away. Because in the humanity of Jesus, he knew how important it was to have community. Everyone say community. Jesus understood that. The Bible talks about, I don't have time to get into this, that the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a community in and of its own. So even God in his eternity, before the beginning, before men and women were created, there was already a communal aspect to God. Amen? Are you with me? And so Jesus himself comes to the world, comes on this planet, and he finds people. He finds community. The Bible says that his disciples were gentlemen, but even ladies walked with him and ministered and went with, and sometimes they ministered to him, provided for his needs. Amen? And so, no matter where we are, there's something powerful about community. I want to say community. What you're achieving in your life, what I'm achieving in my life, oftentimes is the result of the community that we're a part of. When I was in college, I hung out with guys that studied all the time. Can I just tell you, I didn't like studying. Anybody like studying? Young guys, I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you like. I didn't like studying, but because my community and my commonality was with guys that studied, I said, well, they're studying, and so I should study too. And they actually helped me get through college and do decently. But if I would have hung out with flunkies, do you know what was going to happen? Right? Nah, we don't have to study. Let's go do this. Well, it wouldn't have been good. There's something powerful about who we get together with. I have several notes here. I just have time to read the opening scriptures to you. And again, we'll finish this next week. It was the same with the earlier service. And here's what the Bible says. And I want to just talk about a couple of things. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1 through 4, it says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This passage I'm going to dive into next week, but here's what I want you to see today. On the day of Pentecost, they were celebrating a special day. They were together celebrating a special day. And it says, they came. They were all together. Who's they? They, all the followers of Jesus, were together. On the day of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus were in one place. And what happens in this text is something that is going to transform the Christian world forever. Never again will followers of Jesus be the same after this moment in history. And we're going to dive into that. But I want you to see that they were, on that day, they were all what? They were all together. I'll say together in one place. So there's something that God did that changed the history of Christianity, and it happened while people were in community, were together. They were celebrating Pentecost, and they were together. I'll finish with this. There's a scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not in your notes, and I don't think it'll be up there, because actually I can't think of the reference. So, but it goes like this. It says, two are better than one. Because, and I'm paraphrasing here, if one falls and you're by yourself, you got nobody to help you. But if you fall into a pit and you have someone there with you, they can help you, right? You can pick each other up. Two are better than one. There's something powerful about having another person do life with you. Listen, and I tell people this all the time that come through our doors. I tell, we will love you as a church if you will let us. Not lettuce as in lettuce on my burger, but let us love you. If you will allow us to love you, allow us to walk with you, we will help you. Some people need help. Yesterday, we had a memorial service here in the church. It was a sad service. It was a baby who was 3-4 months old who had passed. Very painful situation. I don't like doing those as a pastor because it hurts, right? It hurts. I was just praying yesterday that the Lord will help me keep my composure. For a lot of reasons, that's a very personal thing to me as well. But here's the beauty of what happened yesterday. The folks that suffered this loss have been connected with our church in one way or another. And they reached out to me when this tragedy happened. And they said, you know, can we come and have service here? And we want you to do the service. We want you to pray for us. And here's just a thought. In times of crises, community will save your life. In times of crises, having a person to hold on to you can save you. So we share celebrations. We have a baby coming, and we share it. We want to share that with the world. We want to share that with you, with people, because there's something powerful about rejoicing together in community. But when there's tears and when there's sorrow, when there's pain, there's something powerful about people coming alongside. Sometimes people ask me, what is the best thing that I can do for a friend who has suffered great loss? And they ask me because I have suffered loss. And I say to them, the most powerful thing that you can do for them is be with them. Just be with them. Don't say anything to them. Don't try to figure things out for them. Just be with them. Because when I get close to people, when I'm suffering and I get close to folks, it gives me strength. Two are better than one. Amen? And today, my beautiful bride has been painting a picture that describes the journey of needing help, that we're not all alone, that we can help each other up. And how many know that life is tough, amen? Life is difficult, but there comes a time when we can slip and we need someone to reach out to us. And there's nothing more powerful than the Church of Jesus Christ coming together under the banner of Jesus and saying, we are connected by the blood of Christ, not by ethnicity, not by socioeconomic background, not because we like the same football team, but we're connected because of the blood of Christ. And because of that, we can help each other. And on the journey, we can get to a place where eventually we start being healed. People who were suffering from addiction start taking the next step and walking up the line. People who are struggling financially, people who are far away from God, start taking steps to freedom and to connecting with God. People like Brother Sebaniah, who were at one point way down and saying, there's nothing, there's depression, there's pain. I have to leave my kids, I have to leave it all, and even consider taking his own life. But the Holy Spirit came and spoke to him, showed him his word, and said, not just connect with me, even though that's critical, but said, go back to the people. Go back to community. Go back to the church. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for calling us to community. Thank you for the joy of being able to walk this journey together with others. We need you so much. Lord, we once again, we rejoice for the work that you're doing. And we pray for Brother Sebaniah that he will be blessed, that your spirit will fill him to overflowing, that this would be the beginning of a new journey for him. But we also pray for all the other Sebaniahs out there who are hopeless, who don't see the light. We pray that we would be agents for you, that we'll reach out and love the people in community. We pray that you would do the work that only you can do and help us to be a church that helps people connect to you and to others well. We love you, Lord. We celebrate what you've done and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.